What's up? This is Frankie Kazarian, one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions of the World, the best in the business. And you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
Speak to me, warrior!
You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
That's right, Jonathan. Hey, it's episode 67, Jonathan. What a show. Another wrestling podcast. Everybody's tuning in, Jonathan, right now. If they've never listened to this at all, what are they in store for? What's in store for them?
It's an amazing podcast. We've done this now for six. This is the 67th episode. We are seasoned veterans in the podcast world. You know, we are unlike any other podcast out there. We don't just talk to you. We don't regurgitate the same things out that happened to you last week. You know, you watched Raw, you watched SmackDown, you watched TNA, you watched Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground. You know, high school wrestling. We don't talk about what you saw. We talk about topics. We talk about things that are evergreen, that are fresh, that you can always go back and listen to. We like to think we're doing something different and cool, and we hope that you think so too. So, you know, if you like this episode that you're listening to right now, you can go back and listen to all 66 other episodes. And, you know, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on everything. And Steve's going to tell you where else you can find us if you like us.
Jonathan, you know, the one place you just have to remember is anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Head on over there. You can find out all of our other shows, all of our other guests, all of our links. You know, instead of just listing them back and forth to you guys, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Check it out. Go entertain yourself on the site for a little bit. Try to find something you never saw before. And, you know, like us, follow us, subscribe to us, tweet us. Facebook us. We answer back. We like talking with every one of you guys and girls and children of all ages. But Jonathan, the one biggest thing we have, it's kind of cool, is our AWP hotline where you guys can call in, tell us your thoughts, tell us how much you love us, tell us how much you hate us, ask us a question, just tell us anything on your mind. Maybe you have a topic you want to throw out to us. It's 802-297-7672. That's 802-AWP-7672. Give it a call any time of the week, day or night, rain or shine. It's up to you guys out there. So let us know what's on your mind. Jonathan, also joining us today is Frankie Kazarian, one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, I actually had the privilege to talk with Frankie. You put me on a mission this week. So I am talking with Mr. Frankie Kazarian. And you will be surprised at some of the stuff that we talk about. I don't want to give it all away. That's the bait. I want you guys to listen to the episode. So we talk with Frankie, and I hope you all enjoy it.
We try to pick a topic each week, and I think there's one that we haven't really talked about, which is authority figures. You know, presidents and commissioners, chairmen, and all that other stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I absolutely do, and there's been some amazing authority figures, no pun intended, in the WWE and professional wrestling in general, and I think that this is a great topic. It's one of those topics that I don't think gets a lot of play, really. A lot of people kind of, they know one or two of them, but this goes back for a really long time, and, you know, do you have some of your favorites? I mean, I'm thinking of some right now. Is there any that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, Jonathan, I mean, I love the presidents. I love the presidents. You know, President Jack Tunney. That right there, first and foremost, the president, President Jack Tunney. God rest his soul. I miss the president. You know why? Because, you know, something was happening. He'd come out on a screen and, you know, says what happened, laid the law down, and now we have a match, and boom. Short and sweet, to the point, and we move on from there. I'm not a fan of the commissioners, you know. Like, they take too much airtime. They're just all over the place. Too much authority figures are getting the spotlight, which they shouldn't, really, in my opinion. Jonathan, if I could just take you back a little bit, let's go back in time. And I'm actually on a Wikipedia kind of a page right now, because I have to just put this in front of my face. I can't do it from memory. I'm not as good as you, Jonathan. But let me just take you back down memory lane and just talk to you about some of these things, and let me hear your thoughts on it. Because, you know, in 1997, the president was replaced by the commissioner. And Sergeant Slaughter was the first WWE or the WWF at the time commissioner during the Attitude Era. Do you remember this, Jonathan?
Yeah, I remember it. And I remember him being... I mean, it was cool to see him because at that point he was still kind of behind the scenes. They brought him out, and then I remember DX just kind of really totally disrespecting him.
Yeah, with the whole, they're spitting on his face, the goggles and all that stuff. It was pretty funny. So that was kind of like the first time we had a commissioner now. We have an authority figure on the set, on the screen, and the president's just not behind the desk anymore. So... yeah, I was like, all right, let's play with it. Let's see what happens. You know, Vince McMahon, you know, was also kind of in charge. You know, he was the chairman when he was a heel and all that stuff with the, you know, Steve Austin and all that stuff going on. So you had the commissioner, you had the chairman. Then you had, you know, guest or special, you know, commissioners to where, you know, Shawn Michaels was eventually a commissioner and Mick Foley and all that other stuff. But you see what I mean? Like, I love that president role to where, you know, it was short and sweet. There was something going on major that happened. The president would go on TV, set up a new championship tournament, and then that was it. But the commissioner kind of took the spotlight away from some people. It added another spoke in the wheel, if you will, of the whole, you know, pro wrestling universe and what was needed for their storylines. But I mean, I don't know. I didn't like commissioners, Jonathan. That's what I'm trying to get to, pretty much. I'm a fan of presidents, but what's your take on the commissioner aspect versus the president aspect?
You know, the commissioners, it depends on who it was. You know what I mean? Like, President Jack Tunney is who I really grew up with, just like what you're saying. And so he was the law of the land. I really appreciated that. And then, you know, like, we had Sergeant Slaughter. He was a pretty good commissioner. You had Gorilla Monsoon, who was actually – I felt like he was the president too, wasn't he?
Gorilla Monsoon.
At some point. Yeah.
Gorilla Monsoon was, yes, the president from July 12th, 1995 until August 3rd, 1997. Uh-huh. See?
Yeah.
Power of the internet, baby.
I really think that the president was really kind of the law of the land. You know, we talked about Jack Tunney, but we also had Gorilla Monsoon, who was the president. And even a little bit after that, Gorilla Monsoon got injured by Vader. And we had Rowdy Piper come in as the interim president for a while. With the commissioners, I felt like they didn't get the respect that the president got. You know, whenever we had Sergeant Slaughter, like we mentioned, DX kind of made fun of him. You know, Mick Foley as commissioner was more of a comedy role. He was the law of the land, but, you know, he was doing all the little vignettes with Edge and Christian and Deborah McMichael. And those are some great memories, but, like, no one really took them serious. Like, you always saw Jack Tunney in the videos, but whenever he showed up, you knew shit was about to go down. Like, it was the real
that's right
when Jack Tunney was there.
That's right, Jonathan. So I mean, you know, between the difference between presidents and commissioners and a lot of authority figures, it's pretty much the whole Oval Office, the whole White House they have, you know, out there now with, you know, the Director of Operations, the COO, the Vice President of this, then that. You know, it's getting a little carried away. But Jonathan, if you could give me the good, the bad, and the ugly of what you think about this whole universe of authority figures. I mean, sum it up as best as you can. I mean, what's good to you, what's bad to you, and just what's just not needed?
Well, as far as good, I'm definitely going to stick with, you know, the president. I think Gorilla Monsoon did a great job because he was an actual, you know, he was an actual wrestler. And so he was an imposing figure. He was huge. People respected him. So I definitely think that Gorilla Monsoon as an authority figure. Also, good would be Vince McMahon. When he was, you know, right when he showed that he was in charge, like right after the whole Brett screwed Brett thing, I think that that was really good. Notice that I threw that little Bret Hart jab in for you.
I love it.
the bad, I would say some of the GMs that we've had over the years, you know, Teddy Long, a lot of people would probably argue with me and say he was a pretty good GM. I thought he was bad just because everything was a tag team match on SmackDown. And, you know, even Linda McMahon, she was kind of part of that. You know, they brought her out as like the chief executive officer at one point. She just wasn't believable to me because she seems too nice. And then the ugly is going to be very obvious. The ugly for me is going to be Mike Adamly as GM, general manager. He was just terrible.
I agree with you, Jonathan, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, you know, of repeating any of what you said, but, you know, the good part of it was the presidents, you know, like, you know, Jeff Tunney, first and foremost, just like what he was doing, like we stated, you know, just simple, short and sweet. He had a problem, he had a resolution, and then that was it. He wasn't on every week, he wasn't on every month, you know what I mean? It was just like a once in a blue moon kind of thing, and that was perfect. That was fine for me. I think that's great. You know, the bad right now is just where it's like you turn on TV, and I'm not just talking about WWE. I'm talking about, you know, TNA, Ring of Honor sometimes. Every company pretty much does it too much now to where, you know, you're just having too many authority figures all the time where, you know, you just got to sit back sometimes, let the show happen. You have a good guy, you have a bad guy, and they fight. I don't need a commissioner, a COO, a director of operations, or this or that or whatever. It just gets too confusing, too many people, and it's just like taken away from the show to where we have to have this storyline every week of an authority figure. So that's the bad part. The ugly part, Jonathan, is like what you were just stating briefly too, is too many general managers. Like every month you had AJ Lee, then you had Hornswoggle as a general manager. You know, you had all these stupid things, and it was just like, No general managers. Just keep one authority figure. Have them be there in case you really need to fix a conflict, and then that's it. To where it was just, you know, you had guest GMs and all this other stuff where they'd make a match, and it was just like, it was just, come on already. We get the point of wrestling. Good guy versus bad guy. You know, good guys versus bad guys. Bad guy versus bad guy sometimes. Good guy versus good guy sometimes, and that's it. To where they get to a point where they're stripped of a title, you need to set up a tournament, boom, out comes the president, and then that's it. So, I don't know, guys. We're talking about this right now, but we want to hear what you're saying, too. Online, Facebook, Twitter, you know, hit us up. Facebook.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast. Twitter, at a wrestling pod, a wrestling pod, however you want to say it. Guys, tweet us, Facebook us, let us know. Make it socially interactive. We want to hear from you. Let us know what we missed. That's the whole point of what's happening. We'll respond, too. We're good about that, right, Jonathan?
Absolutely, Steve. We are social media fiends, as you would say. We are always online. We're always trying to connect with you guys. Tell us about what you like about the show. Tell us about what you hate about the show, Steve. And tell us about anything that you can think of that you want to hear on the show, whether it be a topic, if there's a wrestler that we haven't talked to yet, or a personality, an artist, you know, anybody involved in the professional wrestling world, we will do our best to get them on there for you. So please just let us know. And, you know, we love to know what you think. So tweet us, follow us, subscribe, like us, tweet us, whatever you kids are doing these days, we would love to hear from you.
All right, Jonathan, like we said earlier, you know, I was a little bit busy, but we sent you to speak with one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, Frankie Kazarian. Jonathan, what are we about to hear?
Well, you're going to hear a little bit of everything. What's awesome is that I did not know that he was a Star Wars fan, so this is now on a whole nother level. We've got wrestling, we've got Star Wars, we talk music, we talk a little bit of everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Frankie Kazarian. All right. right, on today's episode of Another Wrestling Podcast, we have a legitimate superstar. He is highly regarded as one of the best wrestlers in the world today, as well as one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Frankie Kazarian. Mr. Kazarian, thanks so much for joining us today. How's everything going?
Thank you for having me. Everything is delightful.
You're currently one half of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions with your partner, Christopher Daniels. What are your thoughts on your competition in Ring of Honor thus far?
Well, like I said before, I think Ring of Honor has hands down the best tag team division in wrestling anywhere right now. You know, with just off the top of my head, you got the Young Bucks, the Kingdom, Red Dragon, the Briscoes, War Machine. You know, the list just goes on and on and on. And just, you know, those teams I mentioned are, you know, four or five of the top teams in the world, and they all happen to work for Ring of Honor. So being in that division and representing it as a champion is something Chris and I are both very proud of.
Awesome. Now, where do you think the Addiction rank amongst all the other tag teams in the world today?
Well, we have gold belts to say Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions in our possession, so by default, that makes us the best. And, you know, Chris and I, in our minds, we're the best no matter where we go, where we've been. And that's, but, you know, I know all the other teams feel that way too. That's why it's the competition is what it is.
Now, in the world of professional wrestling, dream matches are constantly being realized because the shrinking world of wrestling. But if you had to pick a team to face the Addiction that you haven't faced yet, who would you choose?
That's a tough question. Are we talking about like the current crop of tag teams out there right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know that there's... I mean, we've pretty much been in there with everyone that we've aspired to. I guess whoever has the WWE tag titles right now, I don't know who that is, but whoever that would be, because I mean, if you're going to wrestle someone, you may as well wrestle for a prize, and that's a pretty coveted prize in our business. So I would say whoever has the tag team titles, and I apologize, but I don't know who that is. So,
they're currently held by the Primetime Players.
Oh, okay. Well, that wouldn't be a dream match, so I'm not saying that's a dream match, but I mean to get in there with, you know, fellow champions would be one thing. But, I could go on and on about dream matches from the past. But, yeah, among the current crop of teams, I mean, we've been in with the best of the best, and we're very fortunate to have been.
Now, you just mentioned WWE. You're currently in Ring of Honor, and prior to that, you were in TNA. You've wrestled all over the world, but what kind of things do you take into consideration before making career moves in the wrestling business? I know that you're probably getting offers all the time to come here, go there, do this, but what do you personally take into consideration? I mean, it can't all be about the money, so are there certain things that you look for whenever you're making a move?
Yeah, I mean, money's a big part of it. You know, anyone would be lying if they said otherwise, but... Yeah, you know, it's definitely, you got to look at the place's track record and their professionalism and who's in charge and, you know, where they're going, where they've been, what they've done, you got to find out what's best for you and your family. At the end of the day, you're the one taking care of your career, and we're our own promoters, and you have to do what's best. But, you know, it's there's not a whole lot of places to work get a full-time living in this business, so I'm fortunate to still be doing that. But yeah, those places are few and far between nowadays.
Now, obviously, you've been wrestling for quite some time now, but you know, you haven't always been wrestling. But if you weren't currently in the mix of Ring of Honor, and you know, the wrestling kind of started to fade away, is there something that you could see yourself doing other than professional wrestling?
Yeah, I'm playing bass guitar in my band, but I don't think I can necessarily make a living at that, considering the music industry is what it is today, which is, you know, fledgling at best. But I mean, that's the other thing. I'm very, very passionate about, just as much, if not more so, than wrestling, but it's definitely right up there. I would love to maybe down the road, enter the dirty game of politics, try to clean some stuff up, being an independent, and get the general population out of this nonsensical way of thinking that we should be on a two-party system, because I'm very anti the two parties. So we'll see where that goes. I don't know if I have a political career in me, but it's definitely another hobby of mine that I like to follow.
Well, there have been some former wrestlers that have gotten into it, and I'm sure you've already spoken to this person, but we had Val Venus on a long time ago, and he has some really different ways of thinking as far as politics go. So, I mean, never say never, as they say. So,
yeah, Val, I've spoke to Val about certain things about years ago, and you know, we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and we differ on a lot of things. But I like to use my voice for not just wrestling. You know, if I have, for example, Twitter followers or people that follow my career, I like to use that as an outlet to, let some people inform them of some things that they might not be aware of, because I'm a person that likes to dig for information and ask questions.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. Twitter, you mentioned Twitter followers. Now, when you first got into the business, social media really wasn't, as big as it is today. Do you find some sort of obligation to, to inform, like you're saying, your fans, or... it's a big responsibility. You see a lot of people constantly getting in trouble with social media. How has social media changed the way that you do things during your life?
It hasn't necessarily changed the way I do things. I mean, it's I think it's a great tool for the fans. I mean, if I was a kid and I could have, tweeted Tito Santana or Ricky Steamboat or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels, the Ultimate Warrior, and got a response from them, I would have thought that was the coolest thing in the world. We never had that simple access that fans have now. So I think for that, it's really super cool for fans. I enjoy being active on social media. Twitter is pretty much the only one I'm on. I enjoy interacting with fans about wrestling, but even more so, I like talking about other things, heavy metal music, and giving my 2 cents on a certain political issue, and I kind of feel like that's my responsibility. Though, I mean, when I talk about wrestling, that gets a lot of conversations going. When I talk about things political, that usually only a couple people, I'll post a tweet about some statistics that are just horrifying, and nobody gives a damn, but then I can talk about a wrestling match, and, I'll get 300 retweets and questions, so it's just silly, but I guess most people follow me because I am a pro wrestler, and I'm blessed for that.
Well, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot right now. You obviously have a problem with the two-party system, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think are some of the biggest problems that are plaguing the United States right now? I mean, I have my own thoughts and ideas, but it would definitely be interesting to hear your point of view.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we have enough time. We have enough time to go into all that, but I mean, just off the top of my head, we've gone away from the fact that the government was created and works for us, for we the people. And somehow along the way, they just turned into a governing body that is just Big Brother, and that is not, we fund the government. These are our tax dollars that are funding this beast that has frankly gotten ridiculously out of control. So I think there needs to be, people need to start standing up and taking back, a piece of the country and realizing that we are the blood and the fiber of this country. That's the first thing. I think we got to get away from the two-party system. We got to get, we need perhaps an independent president. We haven't had one since George Washington. We just need more citizens to start being responsible and vigilant, and we need to end the stupid war on drugs, and we need to, we need to. There's so many things that are just plaguing the United States right now that it's
daunting and disturbing, because I love this country, but I don't necessarily love what it's become. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I'm embarrassed by what it's become. But the system is what it is, and it's not going to change until the people change. And the people aren't going to change until the message really, really hits them and hits them home where it counts. So I hope, you know, somebody comes along, or my generation or the millennials come along and really, you know, let their voices be heard, because I think a lot of people are, you know, there's a groundswell of people that I think feel the way I do and the way a lot of other people do about, you know, we just don't like, we're tired of being lied to, we're tired of being dictated upon and, you know, talked down to and told what to think and where to be and what to say and what not to say. And, you know, it's I'm optimistic, but at the same time, I think it's kind of a dark in the future. It's, like I said, we would need several hours, but that's just the tip of the iceberg there.
No, but I definitely appreciate it. You know, you're definitely somebody. I guess one of the reasons that we started this podcast is really to kind of, we want to talk wrestling, but we want to talk everything that you know, you guys are normal people too. So it's amazing that you're using your voice to talk about something you're passionate about, and I definitely, you know, I look up to you for that, and I'm glad that you can feel like you can do that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, if one person sees me, you know, talking about that, if it just one person looks, if I, for example, post a tweet about how many people we have imprisoned in this country, and one person looks at that and gets interested and starts, you know, doing their own research and looking into things and becomes vigilant and becomes a real crusader and a citizen like they should be, you know, my work is done. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. I think a lot of people that think the way I do also feel that way. And, you know, like I said, if I can turn just one blind eye onto the truth, I'm thrilled, and I consider my job done.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to probably weave in and out of this interview, but I want to talk to you about your current tag team partner, Christopher Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
You've been tagging with him for quite a while. You've been friends with him for probably even longer. How do you describe Christopher Daniels to somebody who doesn't know him?
Oh, man, he's the ring general. He's the fallen angel. He's the almighty. He's he's a bad man of Jamma. He's you know, one of the, when you look at the grand scheme of pro wrestlers and you think of guys that have it all, you know, guys that can work with anyone, guys that can grapple, can wrestle, can fly, can brawl, and that can talk. You know, Chris has every one of those qualities. I mean, he always has, as long as I've known him. And on top of that, is, you know, he's a best friend. So, you know, there's that. He's a guy who's, it's a privilege to be in the ring with him. It's a privilege to watch him. I learn from him all the time. We learn from each other all the time. We collaborate well, very smoothly. We think a lot alike inside the ring and outside the ring. So it's just, you know, being the tag team partner just makes my job a lot easier, knowing he's there and knowing, you know, he's going to be there. And knowing the way he thinks is similar to the way I think. And, yeah, you know, you can't, I can sing his praises all day, but we've, you know, A, I don't want to give him a big head, and B, you know, everybody knows what a terrific wrestler and competitor he really is.
Absolutely. Now, you guys have had similar type career paths. You know, you've both had some matches in WWE. You both spent a lot of time in TNA. You're both in Ring of Honor. I guess it's going to be hard to ask this question, but do you feel like that both of you have kind of been, not, I don't want to say underutilized, but do you feel like you're underrated, I guess, in the scheme of pro wrestling?
I would say so. You know, I mean, I think we've always taken every opportunity that's been given us and hit a home run with it, you know, whether that be in TNA or Ring of Honor or wherever. I think we've always over-excelled. And I think, you know, we back that up in the ring and promos and ringettes.
So I'll go ahead and say yes. And, you know, I think both of our, if you want to call it faults, is I think over our career, we've been, you know, the nice guy. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in the wacky business that is pro wrestling, the nice guy doesn't always necessarily, you know, get to the top. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a bit of a dick to succeed in this business, and that's just a fact. And I'm not saying all the guys have gotten to the top just from being an asshole. No, it takes a lot of hard work and dedication and training, obviously. But yeah, I think, you know, we've both been very, very giving and you know, almost probably to a fault. But you know, that's just our personalities, but I think, having said that, we've also made, you know, some pretty significant strides in our pro wrestling careers because of that too.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of your professional career has been with teaming with people. Is there anybody that you wish you've had to have the chance to team up with? I mean, that you haven't gotten to yet.
I don't know. I mean, it's always fun to get in there with different guys, but I mean, like, I think anything right now would be a letdown. I mean, yeah. Chris Daniels and I aren't going to, you know, the act is never been stronger, and we still just, you know, just scratch the surface of what we can do. So right now, to team with anyone would just honestly be weird. You know, I would have loved to team up with Killer Kowalski when, you know, if I could get in the DeLorean and hit 88 and, you know, go back in time, I'd love to team up with Killer Kowalski, my trainer. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, the odd match you get in there with someone different is always cool and always exciting, and you always learn something.
Well, speaking of Killer Kowalski, is he the person that taught you the most as far as your in-ring abilities and, you know, everything? Is he the one person that you credit with the most about the business?
Well, I say yes because he taught me the fundamentals, and he laid the foundation. And without that foundation, I couldn't have built the house, you know. The house would have fallen apart. So without that rock solid foundation that he gave me, I, you know, wouldn't have learned, you know, how to do certain things. So yeah, I credit him with everything.
Was he your first choice as far as schools go?
Yeah. You know, when I was researching schools, this was like the late 90s, you know, there was, the internet was still, brand new. And, so I had to, you know, call and write a lot of schools, and the ones I actually called and wrote and got responses back from were Kowalski, Hart Brothers Camp, the Power Plant, and God, there might have been one more, maybe the Monster Factory, or yeah, you know, and but you know, just after meeting a couple of wrestlers and asking, and you know, Kowalski's name kept popping up, you know, from guys that I really respected, and I knew, you know, who he had trained and what he had done, and that was that, and choice was made.
Now, on the flip side of the tagging with people, you spent also a lot of time as a singles wrestler. Which do you find more enjoyable?
I like tag team wrestling. I just find it to be way more exciting. I mean, nothing beats the drama of, you know, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, main event matches. Of course, those are, you know, that's commonplace, but just the action in the tag team match and the philosophy behind it and the strategy is just, you know, there's so many possibilities of things you could do, and I really, really enjoy tag team wrestling, both performing and watching.
Now, you mentioned you started in the 90s becoming the wrestler that you are today. There were a lot of tag teams back then. The landscape was completely different. Did you find yourself watching a lot of those tag teams and singles wrestlers and, you know, trying to emulate, or were you kind of told when you're trained to become your own entity?
I mean, obviously you're going to want to be your own person, but everybody's going to, you know, grab from who influenced them, you know? And for me, it was always the athletic, smaller guys, like, you know, the Shawn Michaels and the Bret Harts and the Sean Waltmans and the Dynamite Kids and Ricky Steamboats and Tito Santanas, and you know, those guys were great singles wrestlers, but they're all really good tag team wrestlers too. They all kind of had that common thread to them. So, you know, I would always draw from probably the guys and a few more, you know, and you know, try to put that into some strange brew that could become Frankie Kazarian.
Now, back in the 90s, we just talked about, you know, the internet was just in its infancy. How wise were you to the way that the actual business worked? I mean, today you can be born and you can get online and find a lot of the ins and outs of the business, which, you know, I think it is helpful to people, but it also hurts everything. So how much did you know going into training?
Not a whole lot, like you said, because that information just wasn't available, and the veil was still kind of pulled. You know, they hadn't been exposed to the point it was. Everybody kind of was in on the gag, but you know, not at the level that they are now. So it was kind of learn as you go. These are all things you learned. You know, the inner workings of how the business works when you trained, and kayfabe was still pretty strong when I started. So you know, you couldn't just go on the internet and find a page of insider wrestling terms and bam, there you go. Now you can talk like you're in the business. It just didn't work that way. You had to learn on the job, be around people that have been there and done that.
We're based out of the Northeast. We're in Poughkeepsie, New York, and you know, we can watch wrestling every night of the week, whether it be live or on television now. And as somebody who's actually in the professional wrestling business, I can't say everybody because I guess I'll just ask you, do you feel like the fans are somewhat spoiled now because of the way that they treat the business, or do you think that it's just kind of a natural progression?
That's a tough question. You know, I mean, I couldn't say that yes, the fans are spoiled, because that would be generalizing, you know, and I can't really generalize people, and I don't want to, and I don't want to be generalized, but I think maybe without their knowledge, they might be a little bit, because they have access to so much wrestling, and like you said, you can watch it, you know, whether live or on television every day of the week, and that's something that just didn't happen back in the day, you know. So I don't know if I'd say they're spoiled, but I would say that maybe sometimes they take it for granted. They take the business and the shows and the companies for granted, whether it be ROH or WWE or TNA or Lucha Underground or whatever you're watching. You know, sometimes it's, you know, I think fans, and I can say this as a fan of, you know, music and other sports, baseball and football, you know, sometimes we have entitlement issues. Sometimes we feel that we're owed, you know, certain things. You're owed, you know, I can't believe they didn't play this song. I came here to hear that song. I can't believe they sat this player when I'm watching the game. Or, you know, we all have entitlement issues, and I think that's just human. And I think wrestling fans fall into that category too. So, but I mean, they should know that, you know, it's a good time to be a fan, and you have a lot of options and a lot of access to wrestling, and you know, to just maybe take a step back every once in a while and realize that, you know, yes, it's a show, and we're doing our best to entertain you, but we're also people too, and we're just people performing a job, and you know, we're not robots or CGI created characters. We're human beings, you know, at work. So maybe think about that next time you want to, you know, either bash someone or write a scathing review of a show.
Yes. Now, during your career, you've obviously had several different incarnations, whether it be when you were in Fortune, you know, Frankie Kazarian, Kaz, Bad Influence, Serotonin, The Addiction. Do you have one of those that stands out as, like, your favorite time in the business?
Well, what I'm doing right now, I like it, and I've just really, you know, I'm very comfortable in the ring and on the microphone, and, you know, and just really, my personality's come out a lot more in the last 3 years than it had the previous, you know, 13, 14, you know, whether it be, you know, just getting messages across in promos and just letting a lot of things that, you know, that drive me personally come out. You know, I've never been more comfortable. All the other times I was kind of playing a role, you know, whether it be a guy in Fortune or, you know, or a guy in Serotonin or just an X Division babyface, I was kind of playing a role. Now I'm being me, and I'm very comfortable with that.
Awesome. Now, well, it definitely shows through, to be honest, just watching your work as of late. And I hate saying those things, because it does sound like I'm one of those people that got the insider term. But
That's fine.
As a fan, it definitely shows that you guys are putting on amazing matches. So
thank you. Yep, we're having fun. That's what I think comes across more than anything.
Yeah,
we're having fun.
Now you've been absolutely busy as of late, but you recently appeared for Tommy Dreamer's promotion, House of Hardcore. You were just at House of Hardcore 9 in Toronto. Now, you're no stranger to this company. We've seen you live several times. Like I said, I've mentioned we were based out of Poughkeepsie, New York. What is so special about Tommy's promotion that keeps you coming back to HOH?
Well, what's special about Tommy's promotion is that Tommy's the guy that runs it. And Tommy's a very special human being. He's always been tremendously helpful to me. He's, been a mentor. He's been a confidant and a friend, a boss. His passion is, I think, unmatched when it comes to professional wrestling. And he has that vision that he is now getting the opportunity to share with fans. I think it's safe to say that every House of Hardcore show has been a tremendous success financially and just from match quality and show quality standpoint. That's because Tommy knows this business inside and out, probably better than 99% of the people that are currently, behind the scenes running companies. Mm-hmm. Tommy's got a great mind for the business. He's got a huge heart, and he's the type of guy that I love to work for. And I will, there's a handful of guys that I would drop anything I'm doing and go wrestle for them. And Tommy Dreamer's at the top of that list.
That's great. That's great. Now, we've mentioned it before, the wrestling world is constantly changing and reinventing itself. Recently, NXT has been the hot button issue. They've been signing a lot of the best talent in the world. What do you think when you see some of your peers, such as Samoa Joe, making his way to NXT?
Couldn't be happier. I mean, the only bad thing I would say is that I can't believe it took him this long to get him. But, I couldn't be happier for Joe, and I think it's great that they're, knocking down walls and bringing guys in that, traditionally they maybe wouldn't bring in. It's only going to help their product. Bringing in a guy like Samoa Joe is going to bring instant credibility to your company, and they, I think they've seen that. And he's going to succeed, and he's going to reach the top of the food chain edge like he has everywhere else. And even bringing in someone like an Adam Pearce to coach, another guy who has a real wealth of knowledge to share with those younger students up there. I hope it continues. I hope they continue to be open-minded, and not have a closed-door policy. I hope this kind of revolution continues.
Now, I'm going to say the same thing, and you knew that this was coming, so I have to just say it. Do you think that there's ever going to be a chance that we see The Addiction, even if it's by another name, in NXT or WWE?
I think that's up to WWE and NXT. I mean, they have to, if there's ever a spot that needs to be filled that we could fill, maybe that would happen, but that's, 100% up to them. That's not up to us. Do I think we could compete and be successful up there? Absolutely. I think we could compete and be successful anywhere. Mm-hmm. But in terms of going there, that's a decision that the powers that be up there would have to make.
Okay. All right. Now, we mentioned Frankie Kazarian, the wrestler. We started to peel back a little bit of the layers and talk to the actual person. Other than playing bass, what are some of the hobbies that you have outside of wrestling?
Well, my favorite hobby is spending time with my wife and son.
Yes.
That's being a husband and father is, the biggest blessing I've had in my life. So anytime I get to spend with them, it's hands down my favorite thing to do, as any, I'm sure, father and husband will say. But I mean, aside from that, I play bass guitar in my band, which is, like I said, another very, very good, another passion of mine, something I've always loved music. I've always loved rock music and heavy metal music. So doing that is also another good way to get my creativity out, just in a completely different way. I enjoy, like I spoke earlier, I enjoy, reading and watching the the world go by, you know, from a political standpoint, and observing and questioning and really getting into a lot more of that, especially as I get older. Maybe I just, you know, have an obligation to the world I'm going to leave behind, you know, kind of want to change things. But I love being in Southern California. You know, every once in a while I get to go on some auditions and stuff. That's cool. I always try to keep some irons and nose fires. But I love sports. I love playing and watching all sports, especially football and baseball. I'm a bit of a movie and TV nut. Big Walking Dead fan. Big Sons of Anarchy fan. When it was on, big fan of the show Humans that's on at AMC now. And big comic book guy. Big Star Wars fan. And pretty much just a nerd. Pretty much just a professional nerd.
Awesome. Now, you just brought it up, and it was next on the list. I said you're a bit of a Star Wars nerd as well. What is your honest opinion of the new Star Wars movie hitting theaters this December?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, everything, I think it's in very, very capable hands. I think J.J. Abrams has really honed in on what the Star Wars fans, especially from our generation, are anticipating. You know, I know he's using a lot of practical effects. You know, I think the script is going to be great. They had Lawrence Kasdan, you know, help with it, who did Empire Strikes Back, which is probably the best Star Wars film ever. You know, they got, obviously, the original ensemble cast, which is great. And they, you know, focusing on younger faces, and there's a lot of versatility in the crew, and, you know, I think it's going to be, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure it'll have its, you know, detractors and its critics, but I'm psyched because we have new Star Wars movies coming out, and as a huge Star Wars fan, that's exciting to me. But I'm very, very much looking forward to it. I don't think we're going to have a prequel-type situation. I think this is going to blow everybody's minds, and it's going to really put a button on the series in a nice way when the next three films come out.
So have you given any thought to what you would have been in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, you know, I did a podcast the other day, a Star Wars podcast called Jedi Alliance, which is one of my favorites. Give it a listen if you're out there listening and you like Star Wars. And they asked us one of the questions was, what would we do in the Star Wars universe? And my first answer was, I'd play bass guitar in probably the Cantina band, but being an assassin by the day. And then later I changed that to, I said I would open a shop on Tatooine that sold brown robes and beige shirts, because that's pretty much what everybody wore on Tatooine. So I think I would make a killing doing that. But I guess, you know, and I'm going to stick to those answers. You know, I think I could turn a good profit doing that, or, you know, just going from planet to planet with my band, you know, whether it be Jabba's Palace or Coruscant, just spread my music across the universe, across the galaxy.
That's awesome. Now, you've said it. You play bass, so I'm inclined to ask, what kind of bass do you have?
I have several. I have my first bass that is out of commission, but I'm working to repair it right now, is my pride and joy, and it's a 1966 Fender Mustang original bass, which my grandfather gave me before he passed, and that's the crown jewel of my collection. Mm-hmm. I have a Paco Rabelli acoustic bass that I with here and here and again. It's a little bit big bodied, so it's not the most comfortable thing. Then most recently I have my Ibanez SRE 300, and I have my Ibanez SRE 405, which is my five string, which I play probably 95% of the time. But yeah, those are my basses. I'm constantly trying to add to the collection. It's an extensive hobby. I have two pretty big hobbies, which is music and motorcycles. I also had a Harley, and, you know, I couldn't find two more expensive hobbies if I tried. So that's, you know, much to my wife's chagrin. So that's the only downside, is they're, you know, they're very costly. But those are my basses, and I have a couple other, you know, a couple electric guitars and acoustics.
Well, we talked about some of your wrestling influences early on. Who have been some of your musical influences?
Definitely Metallica. That's my favorite band. That's been well documented. Definitely Metallica. Guns N' Roses, Pantera, AC/DC, Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Rage Against the Machine, you know, just the list can go on and on. Pretty much all rock or heavy metal based bands, you know, Megadeth, Slayer, Anthrax. But, you know, growing up, I listened to a little bit of everything. And I liked country music when I was a kid. I liked, you know, the old school Highwaymen stuff and like Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and good outlaw country. I was a big fan of NWA and Eazy-E and Run DMC and Beastie Boys growing up too. And I think those all those bands, all those groups had, you know, an edge and an attitude to them that, you know, kind of came from like a rock and roll point of view, which I always found appealing. But yeah, man, nowadays, if I'm listening to it, it's probably going to be rock or metal.
Okay. Well, we're going to be winding down the interview. You're obviously a very busy person, but what is the last concert you attended?
Last concert I attended? Oh, geez, it's been a while. I don't, unfortunately, get to go to as many concerts as I used to, but what was it? I went to Mayhem Fest last year in Southern California, and that was... headlined by Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay.
And also Body Count played, and I think who else played. I don't know, but it was my second time seeing Avenged, and they killed it. It's been a great show. Oh, Korn played also. I see Korn.
Awesome.
You know, half a dozen times before. I saw Korn when they opened for Ozzy in 95. That was when they first broke, and that was, you know, I became a fan instantly. And then prior to that, my wife and I went and saw Billy Joel, believe it or not, at the Hollywood Bowl, and you know, he was outstanding. He was just dynamite. You know, there's a reason he was a living legend. The guy just killed it. Great set, great show. Sounded, you know, as good as he's ever sounded. And you know, I'm a huge fan of going to concerts. I wish it's another one of those expensive hobbies. But you know, I've been fortunate enough to see, like, you know, acts like that, and the Rolling Stones, and Tom Petty, and Motley Crue, and these bands aren't going to be around forever, so it's, you know, I like to see them when I can.
Now, you just mentioned some amazing bands. Obviously, these are some that people only dream about seeing. Do you have a concert experience, like a, your most embarrassing concert that you've ever been to?
Embarrassing in terms of like a guilty pleasure,
yes,
is what you're saying?
Yes,
like
yes, absolutely.
I went and saw Katy Perry or something. Let me think. I don't know, because I don't know if I would go to a show unless even if I, you know, I like something, I'll admit I like it. I don't care if other people agree or disagree, but
yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, nobody, I don't think I would consider embarrassing. I don't have any, you know, I guess if I have guilty pleasures, I mean, I'll tell you, I have the soundtrack from Grease 1 and 2 in my iPod, and I have no problem saying that because it's a tremendous movie and awesome songs. But, I've never gone to a show which I think I would be embarrassed or, you know, be afraid to admit. Now I feel kind of boring, and I feel like I should think out of the box and maybe go see someone
my job's done then.
Okay.
I definitely appreciate it, you coming on today. I want to find out, though, you said you're on Twitter a lot, so can you tell everybody what that is?
Yep, that's pretty simple, at Frankie Kazarian, which is pretty easy. And like I said, Twitter is the one that I try to stay active on as much as possible, but you know, be warned, I sound off on a lot of things non-wrestling related, because you know, I love wrestling. It's my passion and my job, and wrestling has been very good to me, but you know, I have a whole nother side that I like to, you know, share and be open with.
Now, other than that, you have your band, is there a way to find out like where you guys will be, or
we also have a Twitter. It's at Vex Temper Music, and you know, we're really in the in the infancy stages of getting our stuff out there. We're in the process of recording demos, and yeah, we do have a Twitter page that just opened just recently. But I'll be posting updates and snippets of music, hopefully, and definitely keeping people aware of, you know, what's going to happen, and, you know, once we start digging, where we're going to be, when we're going to be, and where you can hear our music. It's tough because it's there's five of us, and we're all working stiffs when we're not professional musicians. We are musicians that have professions, and we come together as often as we can. But, you know, at the end of the day, trying to coordinate five guys' schedules who all have families and obligations is tough. But, you know, we're getting it done. We have about 8 to 10 original songs ready to go. So we're in the recording process now, as far as getting some demos out there. And as soon as they'll be available, I'll definitely let everyone know where they can find them.
That's awesome. Now, I'm going to go ahead and label this one part one, because I think we've barely gotten into Frankie Kazarian, and I would love to have you back anytime. Thanks so much for coming on, and you know, best of luck in everything you do. I know that if you're half as good at bass as you are at wrestling, then you'll be a superstar in no time. So,
thanks, man. I appreciate it. This was fun. I had a good time.
Whatever happens to Frankie Kazarian in the future, it's going to be great, because he's an awesome guy, he's a great guy, and he's a really good talent. So thank you for listening, and thank you for coming on today.
That's great. Great job, Jonathan. Look at you, man on a mission, you know, getting what the show needs, and that's interviews from your favorite stars of yesterday and today. But Jonathan, back to authority figures and whatnot, let's get some of our takes about some of these things happening. One question for you, Jonathan, and for me, maybe, I don't know, we'll see how we get to it, but what would you like to see in the future of authority roles? What do you see maybe 5 years from now, or what would you want to see 5 years from now, or 5 months from now, 5 minutes from now, anything?
Well, I think that what I like to see is consistency. So I don't mind that the authority is, you know, is part of this thing, but they should be an entity that's not, you know, a good guy or a bad guy. I think that they should be completely neutral, similar to what I think William Regal is doing down in NXT. I really enjoy his work, and I think that having him as an impartial part of wrestling actually makes it seem more legitimate. When you have someone like the authority that's only rooting for, you know, Seth Rollins, the bad guys, whatever, that it gets a little stale after a while. So I would just like to see some, you know, some consistency and maybe an impartial authority figure. What about you?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I mean, you know, I thought it was perfect. It was like last year or so when, you know, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon went away from the authority role. They, you know, they were taken away, but then they brought him back like 2 weeks later. I'm like, what? I thought it was like a breath of fresh air not having this authority figure present. And I think that's what they need now, man. I think they need to kind of take a back seat a little bit and not be so, you know, full blown every week, every minute, beginning of the show, middle show, end of show kind of a thing, and, you know, let things breathe a little bit, pretty much. So I hope they kind of, you know, take a back seat a little bit, only be there for that conflict resolution, whether you're a commissioner, a COO, or president, you know, just give the guys out there a chance and let them, you know, do that, and only step in when we need you. I think it's just too much of the same stuff, and we just kind of need to take a step back and, you know, let it breathe, as they say. So, you know, hopefully that happens, and hopefully, you know, that's what we get.
Well, I have a question for you.
All right.
And if you say what I think you're going to say, I'm going to just pull all of my beard hair out. If you had a chance right now to make someone a commissioner or the president of the WWE, maybe you've got a couple of people in mind or whatever, but who would you choose for that?
Well, Jonathan, since we're about to talk about the best there is, the best there was,
oh,
the best
my
there
God.
Ever. Okay. All right. No, I won't make it Bret Hart, but, let me think about this. So if I had to pick somebody right now as an authority, you know, commissioner, president and whatnot, I would definitely want a former wrestler. I definitely, like the Gorilla Monsoon was, you know, like he was a former wrestler. He's in his old age state of mind kind of thing. You know, he's been there, he's done that, and so on and so forth. Man, I'm just trying to think of right now who's alive. It's so sad. I can't think of like who's around, who's doing what now, because there's so many names I would love to pick. But I'll tell you what, he was actually years ago, part owner with Vince McMahon of a SmackDown, but Ric Flair, I think, would make a great president, a great authority figure to where, you know, he doesn't have, but what I'm saying, he doesn't have to be out there every night. It's kind of like, hey, we need to talk to the president right now, and then who do we, you know, go to the bat phone kind of a thing. We need this fixed. And I think, I don't know, I would pick Ric Flair just because I think he fits that role and it kind of keeps him from wrestling and just keeps him, you know, he's been there, done that, great on the mic still. And I think, you know, I think we could see something from the Nature Boy. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I love Ric Flair, obviously, but I've got three here. It's a little tough. It's a toss up here. I would love to see Eric Bischoff back. Mm.
That's a good joke.
I would love to see Paul Heyman at some point.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Then my last is wishful thinking, and that would be Shane McMahon. I absolutely think that he would be great as the commissioner, the president, whatever you want to say. But if we're throwing out a wild card here, which, of course, I can't just choose one. I have to choose four. But somebody that I think is awesome that was kind of – GM for a while, but should come back is Brad Maddox. So those are my guys.
Well, hey, bravo! I mean, I couldn't really think of anything, but I think you pretty much nailed it on the head right there with all those picks. You know, anything can happen, Jonathan. Anything could happen, so you never know what we'll see. But in your honest opinion, do we still need all these authority roles? Do we need, like, you know, Kane, director, you know, do we need, like, a director of operations, a COO, a general manager, a commissioner, you know, do we need all these things, or should we just get rid of them all, keep it as one, or just, do we even need it anymore?
I think that we're probably good without it. I don't think it's needed so much anymore. Like I said, one person in NXT, you know, William Regal is doing an amazing job down there right now. And I think that's really all you need. I think once you get more than that, it starts to get confusing, and it's really just a device to get more people to hate you. So, like, Kane could be just corporate Kane, but no one would really care. So then you allow him to make matches and stuff, and then they're mad at him for doing that. So I think it's more of a device to really make him more hated than it's needed. But yeah, I'm not so sold on it. I think there should be, at best, there should be like a president and maybe a general manager that like does his bidding. So, like, you know, they worked together, and that would be pretty cool to me. But other than that, I think we're good without having so many different, you know, people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. As far as, like, you know, when I said earlier in the show, it was like, you know, when Triple H and Stephanie McMahon were kind of, you know, kicked out, you know, and John Cena could only hire them back kind of thing. It was like, wow, all right, great. We're getting rid of the authority figure role right now. We don't need it. It was going to be great. You know, it was kind of like a weight off your shoulder because it was just like the same thing all the time with John Laurinaitis, with them, you know, and the whole authority thing. I was just sick of it. Like, I want to see a new... They have to have, like, a new formula of things going on right now. And, I mean, NXT, like you said, is working brilliantly. They don't need, you know, the commissioner or authority figure out every minute of every show. And it works great there. You know what I mean? Right now, I think it's still overkill. We need to get rid of it. And I don't think we need it. I think we could go out without it for a year or two, maybe just to see how it works. And then if it really doesn't work, then you bring somebody else back. But I don't know. I think it's time to change the tide, if you will, and let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that the authority figures, it's going to be a constant in wrestling. I don't think we're going to get rid of it anytime soon, but there's a difference between really good booking of these sorts of things and just throwing somebody in there. So I'm pretty happy whenever it's the good and not the bad or the ugly, so... They're doing good right now. I don't mind the authority role that they have. I just think that it's starting to get a little bit stale. So maybe we'll see a shakeup every, you know, not too long from now. So, but everybody listening today, we definitely appreciate you listening to us. Listen to our advice. Please tweet us. We have a YouTube page. You can find us there. But really, like Steve said in the beginning, www.anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Steve's going to kill me for that one. We can, you know, go on there and find out anything. We just had trivia the other night. It was amazing. Everybody seems to love it. We're going to be bringing that back in the coming months. We're also going to be going to shows And, you know, you never know where AWP is going to pop up, but you can definitely keep track with this on social media.
That's right, Jonathan. We're doing anything and everything this year, Jonathan, from trivia to hosting, you know, superstars, doing our show, doing live shows, doing YouTube. The sky's the limit this year, buddy, and I don't know what's going to happen next, but that's why you guys and gals got to stay tuned to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Just stay on it. Make sure it's your homepage. Every time you open that browser, AWP pops right up, right?
Yes, it does on mine, and I mean, I'm biased, but I think we're probably the best podcast in the world.
And we're pretty much best for business.
Don't get all authority on me. That's the show for today. We want to thank you all for listening.
Each and every week, we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
Now, if you're wondering how to repay us for all this amazing content, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We're all over social media, Jonathan. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more. Just Google it.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can also show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com and buying one of our official AWP shirts. Also, you can find out how to sponsor us if you feel so inclined. You can find out all that information on our website as well.
That's right. We couldn't do the show without any of you. So tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.